Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the second hour of the program, trying to get as much applause out of this crowd as we can. Jeff, you have to have a sign. You don't have your applause sign with you. Spell it out, and then they will do exactly what you say. Oh, Sally's got it. Well, it doesn't help if you're back of the room. Really doesn't. You got to be at the front of the room. We're broadcasting live from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 9237 Clayton Road. Everybody's invited to come out. We're starting another hour here, and we're starting a new subject with a whole new group of guests. Talking about the Lord's Supper, a roundtable of local pastors have joined us for about the next 90 minutes here on Issues Etc., and you can join us as well. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Village Lutheran Church is about a mile west of the St. Louis Galleria on Clayton Road. You cannot miss it. It's right on your right-hand side as you go west on Clayton, 9237 Clayton Road. And you can join us by just giving us a call. We don't have email today. We are coming to you live this Thursday, the 18th of May. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we begin our conversation, our Issues Etc. book of the month for May is called A Theology to Live By. If you were listening to the last hour when we were talking about Judgment Day, you might have noticed how often Dr. Lewis Brighton made mention of Dr. Martin Luther, how often he quoted him or paraphrased him on the issue of Judgment Day. Luther's theology really does have everything to do with Judgment Day. In fact, that's kind of what the Reformation was about. It was about Judgment Day. Luther had this picture of judgment, God as the terrible judge, and he constantly asked himself, well, where am I going to find a merciful God if God is my judge? It was not until he found those beautiful words in the book of Romans about the righteousness of God that is ours by faith that he understood that the righteous judge is the merciful God, Jesus Christ. You can read more about that in our Issues Etc. book of the month for May called A Theology to Live By, the Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling, and you can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the book A Theology to Live By, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper here for the next 90 minutes of the program. We're joined by a round table of pastors. Our host pastor is Pastor John Temple. He's sitting here to my right. He is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Right next to him, Pastor Fritz Radeke is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Fritz, you've been in the chair for Tom Baker once or twice on Long Gospel, haven't you?
Yes, I enjoyed that very much.
All right. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you so much.
Coming around the corner, another familiar voice to our AM850 KFUO listeners is Pastor Mark Smith. He's pastor of Prince of Peace in Crestwood, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, Todd. Thanks for inviting me.
Dave. Happy to have you here. And then a new voice, Pastor David Boyce Clare, is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. David, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, gentlemen, when the subject of the Lord's Supper comes up, people say, well, it's all very interesting to talk about the Lord's Supper. But isn't that a peripheral issue? Is it really important what Christians believe about the Lord's Supper? Pastor Temple, is it important? If so, then why?
Well, it's important because it was important to Jesus. He's the one that offers it to us. He's the one that instituted it. He's the one that wants to give us each that precious, pure gospel. He wanted us to take and eat his body and drink his blood. It's for us. It's given for us. And so whenever God, especially God's Son, wants to give me something, it's got to be important.
Fritz, how would you respond to that question? Someone says, look, it can't be that important. Christians disagree about it, so it must be a peripheral issue, the Lord's Supper.
I have to make a confession, and that is that when I was a younger pastor, I really didn't understand really the importance of it. And I later on, when I came to realize what a marvelous gift this was, I ended up having to do a lot of repenting. And I guess what is so exciting for me in this whole business with the Lord's Supper is that here is again the very concrete gifts of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life that the Lord is giving to us. And again, one of the great statements, that the Lord's Supper is not a peripheral matter, but the Lord's Supper is the gospel. It's the gospel in a tangible form, in a very concrete form that I eat, I drink, and then there is no doubt that I have been given not only Christ's body and blood, but all of the gifts that Christ won and earned there on Calvary. And that is one of the greatest joys about going to the Lord's Supper, that here is something that I can, you know, if you say, put my teeth into and know that this is life and salvation being given to me. And what a great joy and what a great blessing that is.
Pastor Smith, same question to you on whether or not the Lord's Supper is really that important and what Christians believe about it is really that important.
Well, I always use the example of a child at Christmas time. Your grandparents give you some gifts. I mean, would any child say, oh, I'll only take one of those gifts, or I'll only take two of those gifts? I don't want all of them. I mean, we've got the means of grace here. We've got the gospel, the word, whether it be spoken or written. And that's, of course, can be presented to us preaching or in a Bible class. We've got baptism, which especially for infants is so very precious, because that's really about the only means of grace that they can benefit from. And then you've got this marvelous gift of the Lord's Supper. It's not the Christian supper, it's the Lord's Supper. And as Fritz, I thought, so beautifully put, you know, you can hear a sermon from a pulpit, and that's very precious. But there's something very personal about the Lord's Supper that applies very tangibly to me, that I know that the pastor is not just saying all your sins are forgiven. I know that my sins are forgiven because I'm taking and eating his own body and blood for that forgiveness. And it's very tangible and very precious. In fact, there's no doubt the prophets of the Old Testament would have given their right arm to have what we have in the New Testament.
I want to come back to that point in just a moment. But Pastor Boyce Clare, finally, the same question to you. Talk about the importance of what Christians believe about the Lord's Supper.
I think that was expressed by Pastor Smith here by saying that it's similar to a child at Christmas time when the Lord gives us his gifts. We don't want to say we don't want this gift or we do want this gift. And a lot of times is we want the Lord to tell us how he wants to set up the fellowship with him in his church. And the wonderful thing is that it's the same forgiveness that's given in the gospel that is preached and heard and that in holy baptism and in holy absolution and in the Lord's Supper. And it's just the same gift that the Lord gives in these wonderful ways. And as is said, we don't want to say, well, we don't want this gift or we do want this gift. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. And St. Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes.
So what we need to do now is kind of rewind and back up quite a bit and explain much of what we've just said. If it really is this important, what Christians believe about the Lord's Supper, and then I guess by extension, how they practice the Lord's Supper, let's talk about what Scripture actually says this is. Starting with what you said there, I think it was Pastor Smith who said this. It is the Lord's Supper, not the Christian's Supper. What's the point there?
Well, our Lord Jesus is the one that instituted it on the night that he was betrayed. He took bread, as the words of institution tell us, and he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Our Lord instituted it, and he has, of course, very specific guidelines as to how he wants this Holy Supper practiced as well.
When we say that it is the Lord's Supper, Pastor Temple, we often talk about baptism this way on issues, etc. When we say, is it God's work? Or is it our work? Same question about the Lord's Supper. Is the Lord's Supper God's work or our work.
Well, we call the Lord's Supper one of the sacraments. And the concept of sacrament simply means it's a sacred act. The Lord's Supper is a sacred act because it is the Lord who is doing the action. It belongs to Him. He gave it to us. The action that takes place happens on the cross. He dies for our sins. And the great benefits of that death and His resurrection, which follow, comes to us. It's not our work at all. We show up to receive it. But He's the one that distributes the great benefit, which, as He said in Matthew 26, is the forgiveness of sins. It's His work for me.
Pastor Radeke, that seems a pretty important place to begin. If this is, in fact, Christ's work, Christ's doing, not just His idea, not just His command, not just His legacy or something He's left to us, but if the Lord's Supper actually is Christ doing something for us, rather than we doing something for God or we doing something to remember Christ, what's the real difference there? You had mentioned before that the Lord's Supper is the gospel.
Right, and that's the key to the whole thing. If you kind of look at it from much of Protestantism looks at the Lord's Supper as simply, well, the Lord gave us a command, you know, do this, and so, okay, we'll do it. And so, therefore, it becomes the focus of the whole Lord's Supper then is something that we are just doing because God said we're supposed to do it. And so then it really becomes a work of ours. It becomes something, if you want to say, that's sort of heavenward directed, because God said so. So we're going to respond in obedience and sort of send that like a good work to God. Whereas really the whole New Testament approach is that the action, the movement that is going on is from God to us. God is the actor in the Lord's Supper. The Lord is the one who is there giving His gifts. He is distributing His body and His blood to those communicants. He's just using, you know, my hands or some other pastor's hands and voice, but it is the Lord who is giving the gifts. And that's why, you know, His words are being used in when things are consecrated. You know, we say His word. This is my body. This is my blood. Those are His words. And then when we distribute it, here, this is for you. And that's, again, that's where the gospel always comes in, because the gospel always rings that word. This is for you. And that's the great joy of it.
Okay, first tough question is going to go to the newcomer to airwaves, Pastor Boyce Clare. Someone says, let's go to the words, all right? The words of Jesus, you've all mentioned it many times. There's no dispute what the words are. This is my body, this is my blood, take and eat. What they mean is a whole different thing. How do you respond to someone who says, look, Jesus is using a figure of speech, like He often does. He does not mean this is my body, this bread is my body. He means, kind of like the whole idea of remembering Him, this bread can be a way of remembering me. So think of this bread kind of like my body, and then remember me when you eat and drink. How do you respond?
Well, the way the words are phrased by the Lord, He is speaking about the bread that is in His hand. He is speaking about the wine that is in the cup that He blesses. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. One time I remember talking to a Baptist Christian. Of course, I said, well, you believe that it is symbolic, don't you? He said, no, I don't. And I said, but that's rather unusual. But we can't get away from the words that the Lord speaks. This is my body, this is my blood. Martin Luther spoke about it as being a phrase or phrases which are unique. as an expression of what the Lord is saying in the Scripture.
Why can't it be, Fritz, that Jesus is simply saying, think of this bread as though it were my body? It isn't, of course, because that would be ridiculous, guys, but think of it that way and use this as a way of remembering me.
Well, I mean, to be sure, you could do that, as many Christians do, but that, again, is not being faithful to the words of Christ. It's the same thing like, you know, a person wants to say, well, this represents my body or this represents my blood. And so therefore, those words were available to Jesus. Peter uses the word, that water of the, that the ark symbolizes baptism. Well, symbolism language was surely available to our Lord, but he chose not to use that. The other thing is that if this is just symbolic, then really you have to say, I guess then that the forgiveness that Jesus says, this is given to you for forgiveness, that would probably have to be symbolic too, where you don't have reality either. And so pretty soon all of language ends up being destroyed. I often think of the passage where Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Well, now if he represents the door, well then pray tell, who is the door?
What is the door?
Right. Well, I always remember, I think it was Lenski who said, what Jesus is doing here in that particular instance, he's giving a new meaning to a door. He is the door. And you go, wow, that's really helpful. That you don't get limited and confined it doesn't make sense to me. So therefore it can't be.
We're broadcasting live from Village Lutheran Church this afternoon. It's Thursday, the 18th of May. Village Lutheran Church is at 9237 Clayton Road, just about a mile west of it's the Galleria, that's what it is, a mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. Come on out and stop by on your way home from work or from school. We've got coffee, we've got juice, we've got more than one cookie. Jeff types up that we have a cookie. No, we have more than one cookie. We actually have cookies, cheese, crackers, all those kinds of things. And everyone who shows up at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue will get an Issues Etc. travel mug and an Issues Etc. pin. I would love to meet you. And our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Even though we're not in the studio, we can still take your calls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're also giving away to the best callers with the best questions and comments an issue of Good News Magazine on the Lord's Supper. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor John Temple of Village Lutheran Church is one of our guests in our roundtable. Also, Pastor Fritz Radeke of Zion Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Pastor Mark Smith of Prince of Peace Lutheran in Crestwood. And Pastor David Boyce Clare of Faith Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Pastor Smith, you're chomping at the bit. Something to say.
Yeah, I really am, because, if you don't believe that he really means what he says when he says, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood. If you think that's merely represents or symbolic, it flies in the face of so many other passages of Scripture. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:16. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? He's making the point, the cup of blessing which we bless, the chalice, is this not the communion or the commingling with the blood of Christ? Is not the blood of Christ there? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He's I think, being very clear here that all four elements are there. The bread, the body, the blood, and the wine. Not only that, but he says in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 29, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Now, if it wouldn't make any sense if Paul did not, that passage there would not make any sense if he did not believe in the real presence of Christ's body and blood on the sacrament. There is just no doubt that the Apostle Paul believed in what we speak of as the real presence of the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper.
So you're kind of left with this scenario. If you want to take Jesus as saying, this represents my body, then Paul has grossly misunderstood Jesus' words in 1 Corinthians 10.
Not only Paul, but, you know, even in secular history, secular Roman historians talk about these Christians who, there were all sorts of rumors about them being cannibalistic, about eating the body and blood of the infant Jesus. These rumors no doubt came about because the early Christians held so tenaciously to the belief that this is really our Lord's body and blood.
And I guess it's worth noting that, just as you said, Fritz, the language of symbolism was available to Jesus. It was also available to Paul. He could have said, the cup which we drink, is it not a reminder, a symbol of the blood of Christ? But he didn't. He says, a participation and a communion right. with. Pastor Temple.
Please remember when Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, which Pastor Smith refers to, it says in verse 23 that Paul received these words from the Lord.
Right.
So it isn't that Paul was trying to figure out what Jesus was saying. In the Gospels, Paul had a very significant tutor called Jesus Christ. And so the words we have in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 come from Jesus through Paul.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some more time talking about the Lord's Supper with our roundtable of pastors. If you've got a question or a comment, if you'd like to raise an issue on the Lord's Supper, any question whatsoever, feel free to give us a call. We're broadcasting from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue at 9237 Clayton Road, and we'll take your phone calls at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our roundtable of pastors, Pastor John Temple. He's our host here at Village Lutheran Church. He's pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue. Pastor Fritz Radeke is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Pastor Mark Smith, pastor of Prince of Peace in Crestwood. And Pastor David Boyce Clare is pastor of Faith Lutheran Church, also in St. Louis. When we come back, let's stay with the words a little bit more and talk about, do this in remembrance of me. There are more altars in Christian churches with those words printed on them than any other words. Some altars have words like holy, holy, holy on them. And some altars have words like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if you look in any church, even churches that don't think they're really getting Christ's body and blood and the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper, they have those words. Do this in remembrance of me. Is the Lord's Supper merely a memorial meal? And if it isn't, then what does it mean to do this in Christ's remembrance? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break with our round table of pastors. And then, in about an hour, we start soundbite of the week. We've got a soundbite from Jim Veltz on modern-day Gnosticism. We've got a soundbite from Sarin Foster. She's talking about what do you say to a woman who has an unplanned pregnancy. We've got a soundbite from Emily Carter commenting on the spirituality of Oprah Winfrey, and a number of others for you to choose from in soundbite of the week. That's coming up in an hour on Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, this is Kay Meyer of Family Shield. The Apostle Thomas doubted that Jesus had really risen from the dead. He wanted proof. How did Jesus respond to Thomas's doubt? Do you ever have doubts? Have you ever tried to respond to someone who has doubts? Then join us next time as we discuss doubts and the Word.
Family Shield, Saturday mornings at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Twilight Tuesdays, the popular outdoor concert series at the Missouri History Museum, returns with a spectacular spring lineup as the Missouri Historical Society looks back at 140 years. This special season features a lineup that includes favorite performers from the past. Twilight Tuesday's concerts will be held through May and on June 6th. Twilight Tuesday musical guests perform from 6:30 until 8:30 on the North Lawn at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Senator Sam Brownback is hopeful his broadcast decency bill that increases the fines for indecency on the airwaves We'll see movement before Congress leaves for its Memorial Day recess. But Josh Montes tells us that some conservatives who want the bill are not as optimistic.
The House version of the Broadcast Decency Enforcement Act overwhelmingly passed last year, but the Senate version has been held up by Senator Ted Stevens. Senator Brownback believes the bill will soon see the light of day.
I talked with the chairman of the Commerce Committee, Chairman Stevens, and he is supportive of getting this narrow bill through the Commerce Committee.
Senator Stevens' office declined an interview but told Family News and Focus that they would indeed help Brownback get a bill to conference but would not indicate when. Pat Truman is with the Alliance Defense Fund.
I don't imagine that it would go through Commerce Committee by Memorial recess.
Truman hasn't lost all hope. He's encouraged that both houses support the bill, including Majority Leader Bill Frist.
I think that the bill will move this year, and we'll see it pass and onto the president's desk.
Lanier Swan with Concerned Women for America says Stevens is holding up the bill because of pressure from the big networks, but she believes he's changing his tune.
We know that that is in large part due to the enormous effect the grassroots had in calling into all their senators' offices and letting the senators know that American families back home are aware that this bill has been stalled and that they're tired of waiting on it.
The Senate version of the decency bill would increase fines for indecency tenfold. For Family News and Focus, I'm Josh Montes.
The Family Research Council has a petition you can sign that would send a message to Senator Ted Stevens asking him to move the indecency bill forward. You can find out more online at frc.org. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Here's what's coming up on the next couple of Bible study programs here on AM 850 KFUO. On Friday, we will ask the pastor with our friend Pastor Warren Wirth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold. And on Monday, we start 1 John chapter 1 with Pastor Bill Simmons of Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in St. Louis. The Bible study, weekday mornings at 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a Christ-centered, cross-focused version of The Purpose-Driven Life. It's titled A Theology to Live By, The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or look for the cover of A Theology to Live By on our website, issuesetc.org. A Theology to Live By, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Broadcasting live from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 9237 Clayton Road. Got a small gathering of people here, and you're invited to come out as well. We still got an hour and a half left in the program by my clock. That's plenty of time to stop by. You don't have to stop by for the whole hour and a half. You can stop by for just a few minutes, meet some of our round table of pastors, and we'll be talking about the Lord's Supper here for another hour. Then we play Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Christ Academy 2006 is going to be held this summer on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a two-week residential program for young men. I've taught at this thing last summer, and I was amazed that I had probably 35, 40 high school-aged young men in a classroom. They don't air condition classrooms very well up there at Fort Wayne, so it was kind of warm. The kids had been at Cedar Point out on Lake Erie, a big amusement park, the day before. They were tired. They were sunburned. It was the very end of the 2 weeks. They were all ready to go home, but they were all still sticking in there. And they actually paid attention to me for a long 3-hour session. I don't know how it happened, but these young men are fantastic. And they had the opportunity to go to chapel with the faculty there, to interact with the faculty, to sit and enjoy the company also of the students there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Christ Academy 2006 is the perfect opportunity for that young man that you know of, or perhaps you don't know of one, but your pastor does. Ask him in your congregation who ought to be at least pointed in the direction of the pastoral ministry, even at this early time. So consider that. And find out more about Christ Academy 2006 at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary and ask them about it, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Okay, Let's stick with the words, if we could, and talk about remembrance. I've noticed, I said it before the break, I've noticed how many Christian altars have those words, "Do this in remembrance of me," printed on the front or carved into the front of the Christian altar. Someone says, look, you're saying it's not a memorial meal, but Jesus clearly says, do this for my remembrance. He wants it to be a memorial meal. So is it or isn't it? Let's start with you, Mark. No? All right. We'll start with, let's go to Fritz, who looks like he's deep in thought as well. Is it or isn't it a remembrance of Jesus?
Yes, one is indeed remembering, but again, it goes back to the whole business as to, excuse me, the focus of what's going on. The action, again, is the Lord's action. Yes, indeed, we are remembering, but you have the same thing happening in the Old Testament where the children of Israel, by the prophets, were always called to remember the Exodus. Remember God's saving work. And so you have, that there is remembering going on. But at the same time, you also have a remembering in a different kind of sense, not simply only in sort of cognitive mental activity, but it's like when the Passover was referred to as a remembrance of the Exodus. Well, that Passover really also served in a very real sense, rather similar to what you have in the New Testament in terms of sacraments, that you have that those who participated in this, and this was also that not just anybody could participate in Passover, but only the children of God, and which is you have parallel with regard to close communion. But this whole business about remembering, it's not simply cognitive, mental activity, but you also have, you know, it's a participation in that event back at the Exodus. And so when you approach it from that standpoint, it's not just, let me think real hard, remember. I think of the things that my Lord has done, but at the same time, I am also participating in that.
All right, before we continue with that, and I do want to continue with that, we've got callers who are waiting on the line. Let's get to them, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Starting with Lynn, calling from St. Louis. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. With regards to in remembrance, I have been told that those words themselves mean that the communion is entirely symbolic. This is my upbringing, and I find what you're saying so interesting and stretching, and I want to understand, because I know these were Jesus' last words. So when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, you're saying this is literally that, and yet I know when I heard a pastor say not long ago, I am the door, Jesus couldn't possibly be a door, so that was the example, in fact, he used to say that this is symbolic language, or Jesus said, I am the shepherd, I am the vine, I am the light. And he wasn't literally those things, nor are we literally sheep. So can you distinguish there for me between symbolic language and literal in these instances? Because I just don't understand the difference.
Okay, it's a great question, Lynn. I'm going to go back to you, Fritz, because you said something before on this. Okay, let's come at it this way. She said, well, Jesus isn't literally the door or literally the shepherd, is he?
Well, yes and no. He is not that wooden door that you see, but he is the door. And that's why if you say that he simply represents the door, or if he simply symbolizes the door, then ultimately you have to say then actually what is the door or who is the door? And again, Jesus is simply giving us a whole new meaning, a whole new understanding of things that, and it's like that when she brought up the idea of the good shepherd. I mean, can you imagine when Jesus spoke those words, "I am the good shepherd," those hearers of his must have looked at him and their mouths hung open because they knew exactly what he was saying, that he himself is Yahweh. He's the Lord. Now this ordinary-looking guy here, you got to be joking me. Well, see, that's the whole point that people, and this is something I always want to keep telling people, I always tell my congregation, you do not understand the gospel. Every dimension of it, you do not understand it. And everybody is always trying to wrap their head around this stuff. And you go, no, the gospel lies outside of our reason. And as soon as you try to start understanding all of this, you lose it.
So in other words, here we are put in the position of simply taking Jesus at his word for what he says, rather than trying to explain away the plain and simple words that Jesus gives to us. Pastor Temple, you had something you wanted to add.
Yes, in regards to this use of the words like Christ is the door, that verb is does not mean signify. It means is. Because in the realm of heavenly things, using Christ's words, this door does actually admit a person into heaven. Jesus didn't say, I'm signifying that I'm a door, it's a symbol. He really is the door to heaven.
Maybe it works better with way, truth, and life, because mm-hmm. Christians cling so much to this. Is Jesus saying, I represent the way, I represent the truth, I represent the life, or right. Is he saying, I really am the thing itself? Pastor Boyce Clare.
Another important point here is that when these things were discussed, at the time of Martin Luther, when he was stressing the real presence of Christ's body and blood, is that these other sayings, I am the door, I am the way and the truth and the life, are not referring to the Lord's Supper. And so he said, well, let's stick to the words specifically that deal in Scripture that deal with the Lord's Supper. But oftentimes those who opposed him would bring up these other passages of Scripture, like where in the Old Testament in Exodus, where it says that you do all of these different things, like get the lamb, and this is the Lord's Passover. And it was not talking about the Lord's Supper. It was talking about something altogether different. But I'd like to say, too, about the remembrance thing as well, that by just saying this do in my remembrance, Jesus is not taking away with another hand what he has given with the first hand. This is my body. This is my blood. Eating his body and blood is done in his remembrance.
Okay, folks, if you've got further questions about this, and we're happy to answer them here at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can also email me at twilkin@kfuo.org. I wrote an article some years back called Responding to Real Absence Arguments. People who argue against Jesus' words in the Lord's Supper, saying he doesn't mean it is, he means it isn't. I've got some responses to that. twilkin@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Steve, who calls from Fenton. Hi, Steve. All right, we'll go to our next caller here in just a moment, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Dave in West County. Hi, Dave.
Oh, it's Steve. Different Steve. Hello?
Okay, Steve. Steve, yes.
Yeah, question. I'm not sure. Have you gotten into the part where he said as often as you do this? And the question is on the how often you do it is we have a Catholic Church and the Roman Church where Mass is celebrated on a daily basis, to where a Lutheran Church is where we take the liberty sometimes weekly, sometimes bimonthly, sometimes quarterly. To some Protestants, which have gone to the other extreme of only doing it once every 6 months or even once a year, is there a right way to that part of Jesus' command of how often you do it?
Okay, Steve, that's a great question, because since we're in the words, we ought to deal with all the words. When he says, do this as often as you eat it, drink it, in remembrance of me, what does he mean by often? Pastor Smith?
Well, I remember this explained a little bit once, but when somebody asks you, how often do I have to take the Lord's Supper, that's the wrong question. The question really should be, how often can I take it? We don't have any hard and fast rules. A lot of our congregations, some of them at least, are moving to every Sunday communion. Now, at Prince of Peace, we have it two or three times a month. And that's often. How do you interpret often?
So we don't make rules. Can the word often be abused in kind of stretching it out, as Steve had mentioned, some Protestant churches saying once a year, often enough? Can it be abused in that direction, Pastor Temple?
Well, the history of the church has shown that there were times when people took the sacrament daily. That might happen in certain quarters even today. I suppose that's more of an individualized thing when the Lord didn't give us a direction on exactly how often we should take it. I think we need to ascertain, well, what seems to be best for me, and we communicate that in our congregations, and hopefully the congregations will make decisions that are good for the common good.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. Steve calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hi, and I'm out of radio range, but I'd like to stay on to hear the response, if I could, please. It kind of ties out a little bit with the last question. I had been in the evangelical church where they had communion once a month, and became a Lutheran at the end of March, and have a wonderful pastor. However, they're only having the Lord's Supper about once a month, and I'd like to get some suggestions on how I could respectfully talk to my pastor about getting the Lord's Supper more frequently, because I find myself now with the Lutheran understanding, really having a longing and sometimes almost feeling like I'm missing something on the Sundays when we don't have it.
It's a great question, Steve. Thank you very much. Okay, anybody want to offer some pastoral advice on a man who says, my church isn't offering it often enough?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that's a healthy attitude. That man that just called in obviously has an appreciation for what the Lord's Supper indeed is. I'm always glad when I hear somebody come forth and say, Pastor, we'd like to have the Lord's Supper more often, or even every Sunday. I think we have to be careful.
Well, how would you counsel him to approach his pastor on this issue, just to raise the subject? You don't have to plan out the entire communion schedule for him, but
Todd, just to raise the subject.
Just
take him out to lunch.
And do what?
And talk to him. Pastors love to be talked to, especially when there's food on the table.
And so simply say, Pastor, I've heard what Scripture teaches about the Lord's Supper, and it seems to me I need this, and I want this more often than we're having it.
Yeah, I think this is an issue for the Board of Elders, if they have a Board of Elders in their congregation to discuss. I think I'd feel bad if somebody would come to me in kind of a judgmental way and say, hey, look, if we don't have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, we're less than a God-pleasing congregation. But I think this is something we can discuss with the elders, and if we decide to go to two Sundays a month, or maybe the first and third, or the fifth Sunday, if there's a fifth Sunday.
Okay, Fritz?
I think the other thing, too, that and this is what changed things so much for me. I know that a dear friend in the congregation talked about, and this is always people's concern, that, if we have this every Sunday, we just won't appreciate it. We'll take it for granted. And, well, that really doesn't happen, because the more that you understand as to and recognize what is being given to you, and the gifts and that here is life and salvation, and I always after each table when they come up, I always take some time fortunately we don't have the largest congregation in the city, but I can spend time and explain again, and this is what's being given, and in doing that, the members have responded, and they have said, that has become so meaningful to hear again what it is that the Lord's giving us. And this fear about having it too often, you know, that every Sunday is too often, is just it's not a reality.
Karen is calling from her car. Karen, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. Thank you for the discussion. It's very interesting and encouraging. I was wondering if the lady who called and was referring to what her pastor had tried to explain to her that Christ didn't mean it in a literal sense, that that we should do it in remembrance of him. I was thinking of the Gospel of John, where in chapter 1 he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that's a very literal meaning too, but it's still hard for us to comprehend, like it would be with the Lord's Supper. But I did have a question, and I always, when I think of the Lord's Supper and receiving Christ's body and blood, I think of it kind of in an intimate way too, that he touches us. He comes to us, and we can actually touch Christ, or he is somehow touching us through his body and blood. And that's comforting to me. Is that appropriate, I guess, is the question.
Thank you, Karen. All right, Pastor Smith, I heard Pastor Smith and Pastor Radeke earlier talk about kind of the intimacy, the personal nature of the Lord's Supper, the I don't want to use this word, but I use it carefully, the individual nature of the Lord's Supper. Is Karen on to something here?
Yes, she is, because, well, isn't it interesting, in the liturgy of our service, right after we've had the Lord's body and blood, we sing Simeon's song, what we call the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon was rejoicing over the fact that he had just held in his hands the promised Messiah, the little Lord Jesus, the long-awaited Savior. And we, in a very similar way, have partaken of our Lord's body and blood. We have taken and eaten it with our mouths. And so we can depart with the same joy that Simeon departed with. It is a very intimate thing. It's been applied to us individually, not just the whole congregation, but this is given and shed for you. Yes, you, for the forgiveness of sins.
Pastor Boyce Clare, when Luther talks about those words, the words he focuses on, in addition to affirming that Christ's body and blood are truly here with bread and wine and all these things, he says those words, for you, in his words, require all hearts to believe. What is Luther saying there about those words, for you, in the Lord's Supper?
Well, many times, as you know, in the Christian church, we're often told that we need to think of Christ on the cross and maybe go back to Calvary and in some way find it helpful, spiritually helpful for us to think about Christ's passion, his death, resurrection. But what is important is what Luther says is that where God is for you. Many people say that they feel close to God on the golf course or out in the mountains and seeing the beauty of the world. But the question is, where is the Lord there for you? And that, of course, is in the Lord's Supper, where Jesus specifically says the words, "This is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And of course, the Holy Spirit works through these words to create faith in the hearts of those who hear the words and receive the Lord's Supper.
Somebody mentioned earlier the term means of grace. Pastor Temple, what do we mean? We talked about sacrament, but what do we mean when we refer to the Lord's Supper as a means of grace?
A means of grace, or a vehicle that God's gift comes to us in three forms that we know of. One is through the Word itself, where God's Word comes to us and tells us that we are first sinners and lost, and secondly, we are saved by God's action in Christ, who died for us and rose again so that our sins would not be held against us. That is a one way that the vehicle of grace comes to us. The second way is through baptism. Again, a baptism is a sacrament, means of grace. In other words, it's an act of God thing. And so God comes to us while we are born in a sinful state, and his precious name is put upon us. The very word of God, again, accompanies the water, and the power is in the word, and that word establishes a relationship with us that can last forever, properly nurtured. Again, it's a gift of grace. And the third means of grace, or the third vehicle of God's gift of salvation, comes in the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. Again, the word accompanies the elements of the bread and wine, and we have this incredible and wonderful presence that we've been talking about today. And I would like to make a distinction between the general presence of Christ, which we enjoy all the time, and the specific or sacramental presence of Christ here. This means of grace, this Lord's Supper, is super special. Because not only is the word there telling me that his body and blood were given and shed for the forgiveness of my sins, but his body and blood are there too. And so I get to enjoy not only the general presence 24/7, but the specific, powerful presence of his body and blood with that bread and wine. And that is a wonderful third means of grace.
We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our roundtable of pastors on the Lord's Supper, about another 25 minutes of that, and then we'll play Soundbite of the Week to round off today's Issues, Etc., broadcasting live from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 9237 Clayton Road. If you're on your way home, it would be really nice if you would stop by. I'm not asking you to ruin your supper, but we do have some food here, a cup of coffee if you don't think it'll keep you up too late, or we also have something else to drink as well with no caffeine. It's 9237 Clayton Road. We're going to be broadcasting here for another hour from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue. Our call-in numbers as we continue our roundtable on the Lord's Supper, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers will get a copy of the Lord's Supper edition of Good News Magazine, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. Our email isn't up today. It will be on Monday. And we're coming to you live this Thursday, May the 18th, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, someone's going to say, look, you guys have made a great case for the Roman Catholic view of the Lord's Supper. You sound like a bunch of Roman Catholics talking about body and blood and presence and sacraments and all of those things. Well, we'll have to sort that out when we come back. Stay tuned. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.